Look, we all got different needs, wants, and goals in life. As doctors, locum tenens definitely needs to be a part of that conversation. But you might wonder, how do I find out if locums is good for me? Here's my answer. Go to an unbiased, informative source like locumstory.com. You'll learn all the ins and outs of locums, details on travel and housing, how to find different jobs, tax information, and more. Get a comprehensive view of locums and decide if it's right for you at locumstory.com. Link is in the show notes. They were saying that folks in Nepal were a part of a Telegram group. They would have like this systematic way of any questions that they took, they'd memorize it. And then their job was to put it in the Telegram group and kind of create this rolling question log, basically.
Let's say you're green. You just happen to be staying in Nepal and someone says, hey, I got this good group right here. It's going to cost $1,000, but we had good questions in here. Hey, are we allowed to have these questions? And someone was like, yeah, it's a test bank. You go to test day and you're like, hold on, this isn't just good questions. Like, nah, I remember seeing this question. This is exact the mundo what we're seeing here. We're focusing on Nepal, but like if they really got down to it, I think they would find cheating in multiple locations.
Yo, Dr. Barry, what's good, man? How you doing?
Hey, first of all, thank you for having me. Appreciate you.
Man, it's all good, man. Listen, man, I see you over here doing some investigative journalism over here. I'm like, yo, how he doing all this stuff? I love this. He's just like, you dateline for the medical Roland Martin up in this and stuff. So I said, listen, there's so much stuff going on right now, just in general, you know, in life and stuff. But I thought when I saw, you know, your interview with Dr. Brian about this cheating scandal that's happening with the Nepalese students and the USMLEs. I was like, look, man, it's just too much for me to kind of talk about it with my own audience. So I said, let me bring you in here. You come and tell us what's going on. So what's the scoop, G? What's going on,
man? Hey, no, I appreciate it. You know, it's interesting because I did a live on it because obviously as a former program director, like GME still, you know, something I love to know about, read about. So of course I come across this cheating scandal or they're dropping articles and I'm like, ooh, one, because I'm not shocked that it's a cheating scandal. Right. And
why aren't you shocked? What exactly is the cheating scandal? What's going on? What's the scoop?
So what happened is in Nepal, in fact, there was investigative journalism that said, hey, you know what? We think there's a cheating ring going on in Nepal where people are recalling questions. They're in Telegram chat saying, hey, this is the question I got. These are the answers. And they had such a systemic process with it that it was, let's say it's like 20 kids. Like, hey, you got the first 10. I got the second 10. I got it.
A word.
So it was down to the T. And what happened, especially when they started getting nitty gritty, first of all, people started snitching, right? Well, typically, most likely people who were outside of the circle, who couldn't get in the circle, was like, hold on. Like, if this person is going to get a good grade on the USMLE and I don't, not everybody's coming down, right? And because that's typically how these things kind of go about. So there,
and the stakes is high as hell, right? Because when you're coming from an outside medical school, you're trying to get into the United States, like the margins are so like you don't have time to like get like a certain percentile. Like it's got to be high or the programs aren't even looking at you. So
there's some parts where we used to call it double 99. If you didn't have double 99s on your USMLE step one and step two, the programs weren't even looking at you. Like if certain parts of the country, if you didn't have double 99 on step one, step two, they weren't even looking at you. Like, which is,
what is that? One wrong?
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Like how much the standard is for them. But because in other parts of the country, other parts of the world, they teach for that test. You know, like, I teach you a little biochem here. Oh, that might be on that exam. But like, you're going to learn my biochem because this is how I learned it. When I was an undergrad.
It's like AP courses, right? Mm-hmm. Like they teach you how to beat the test over there. Yeah.
Like, so of course they have people start snitching. Then investigations start happening because the rumors start getting so bad. The rumblings start getting so bad that the USMLE had to do something because you started having people like Medscape starting to do some investigative reporting. Like, hold on. Like we're
so
here
everybody understands, the folks, they were saying that folks in Nepal were a part of a Telegram group, which is basically the rival to WhatsApp.
Yes.
And they would have like this systematic way of people would take the test and they would try to memorize or recall like the first whatever questions they can think of, any questions that they took, they'd memorize it. And then their job was to put it in the Telegram group and kind of create this rolling question log, basically. Yeah.
I mean, essentially a better version of any Kaplan Q-Bank that you would ever see. And you can kind of see where I'm leaning to when I mentioned. Like a Kaplan. So
how long has this been going on?
For as far as what they've been looking for the past at least 3 to 4 years, as far as the numbers. And by numbers, USMLE got to the point where they said, all right, we're going to look at the tests. We're going to look at the test questions. We're going to look at your right answers, your wrong answers. We're going to look at the location. We're going to see if there's some similarities. And it got so bad that questions that would normally get thrown away, these people that were in this group were all getting the right and getting the wrong answers. Right.
Okay, so there was a big concordance between test takers. Yeah.
They weren't even like, again, I'm not saying anyone was a cheater, but typically, you know, if you cheat off your friend next to you, right, you're not going to get the same exact questions like your friend just to throw the teacher off. No, there was no throwing anybody off. No. If I learned that, oh, this is A, this is B, this is C, that's how I was answering it. So you had this systemic approach where not only was this area doing a lot of cheating, you had people who would schedule their testing in that specific area at a specific time when they knew that the questions weren't going to be rolled over to a new set of questions.
Oh. I mean,
they had a system.
So but how do they know it's just Nepal? Like, right. Like, cause that's the thing that when you found this out, tell us how they found out it was just Nepal. Cause this is really interesting.
It was, what happened is it was, we knew
cause people do well in the United States. People do well in other parts of the world. So why is it that specific spot?
Right. And I think what happened is because the snitching started to occur, right? It always starts with the snitch. The snitch started saying, hey, you know what? I don't like this. Like,
so snitches were people getting like 230s and stuff?
Probably. And they were, because you said it best. This is high stakes. This is life or death.
Right.
I don't
get
the right score. I don't work. I don't become a physician. So people
that's
are
true.
Like, if I can't prosper, no one can't prosper. But of course, you can't just go off one person's, you know, because you could tell they're probably disgruntled, like, oh, you didn't get the score you wanted, so now you thank everyone. But after they heard enough rumblings, USMLE was essentially forced to say, like, okay, we have to at least address it. And of course, Nepal got all of the fanfare news. But once because this is what happens, and this is why I wasn't shocked. Once USMLE started looking, they started seeing some irregularities in other places. Right. International, still international. Other places that kind of had that same kind of track record where, you know, at certain time frame, everyone wanted to take the test during school. Right. Like,
got you.
They started looking at the question banks. Wow. Everyone's getting the same right answers. Everyone's getting the same wrong answers. Even the questions that we're like, all right, nobody's going to answer this. They're getting correctly. And guess what? All 20 of them are getting the same answers correctly or incorrectly.
Mm.
It was just first of all, they did a good job with the recall. Let's just say that.
Can't you get credit for just memorizing that stuff? What was it? There was something else that you were saying that folks was finishing the test like 3 hours earlier than the average person in the world taking the test also?
I don't want to call no one cheaters, but again, if I was cheating, right, I'm going to take my time with the cheat. These folks were flying through tests that would normally take you hours to do. They're like,
right.
They go and handing the paper in. It's like to the point where some test centers were like, hey, you know what? You might want to just sit down for a little bit. Like, you might want to, might not want to be breaking your test just like it. So but that's what happens when the cheat goes on.
Because the testing centers are like, yes, man, you raising red flags. We're trying to get this money from you guys taking the test here. Stop playing.
You're going to bring the heat to us. So now you have people who are, when you're confident, like, yeah, maybe that first year, the first year people not going to do that. The fourth and fifth year people definitely will, right? After 4 or 5 years, they're like, this is a racket. We got this. Here we go. 1 hour. Take my whole test. So you have all of these irregularities, all of these like concordances to say like, oh yeah, this person and this group of people are cheating. And of course, especially during this time frame now where we're talking about match, we're talking about like, hey, I'm about to go in someone's residency. This is like the best time to drop a news like this, right? Because now everyone's at a standstill. Because whose credibility comes into play? USMLE's credibility comes into play. ECFMG, the governing body on the International Medical Students, they come into play, right? Because all of a sudden, people are starting to look like, hold on now. If it can happen in Nepal, where else can it happen? Now, never happened here in the United States, because I don't think we would have a significant enough system, because obviously we have our Princetons, our Kaplans, and all those things there. But they're trust me, their Q banks don't touch these Q banks over here.
What's changed in healthcare? The opportunities, the lifestyle, and you. Now's the perfect time to explore locum tenens and see how it might fit into your career story. Trust me, this is not a one-size-fits-all solution for everyone, and the variety of opportunities might surprise you. I recommend starting your research at locumstory.com, an unbiased, educational resource about locum tenens. You're going to find stories of locum physicians from all walks of life, so you get a bigger picture of the diverse options. The Locum Story website also has a tool that lets you explore locums' pay and demand for your specialty, and even compare to different locum tenens agencies. There's even a simple quiz to see if locums is a right fit for you. Locums could be an essential part of your career that adapts to your needs. Do your own research at locumstory.com. It's easy. Link is in the show notes.
Wait, let me ask you a question. So what about, because you said 3 or 4 years or maybe even longer. What? That means that there are people who are already in residency at this point, possibly maybe even finished their residency. So what happens there? What are they doing there?
So the question, so this is what I asked out of Carmine. I said, hey, you know, how far back do you think the U.S. Assembly is going to go? Because you're getting to the point now where it's embarrassing, right? If I'm talking to trying to pull a second year, third year resident out of their program, that's embarrassing. So we're not going to go that far back. Not that I don't think that they can find inaccuracies in grading back, but they just don't want to be embarrassed, because all of a sudden you have a lot of money at play. Like, you know, from a numbers game, if I pull a resident out, Medicare dollars might be $90,000 a year, right? Mm. So now you about to cost me $90,000 a year. And there's some programs that take, you know, a lot of FMGs. Hold on, you're going to cost me how much now?
So it's more than just saying you cheated. It's, okay, we caught you cheating possibly. Then if we take you out of a system, then it affects not only your education, but it also affects the dollars that come into that hospital.
Oh, 100%. Patient care.
Okay.
And of course, and damn. Now, because they can't, now, I mean, with this statistical evidence, they can say, yes, you were cheating. But because they can't 100% say, they say, you know what? We're going to invalidate your score.
That's what I was about to say. So how are they doing this? Go ahead. So because I'm like, are they just saying if you from the poll, all of the scores are invalidated? Yeah, tell me what they're doing.
Well, essentially, that's what they did. Like, so all of the testing centers in that Nepal area, they invalidated all of their tests and said, hey, you know what? We can't trust that this test score is viable. You're going to need to take this again. So imagine now, this is the two scenarios. Imagine you're PGY1. Like, so you're PGY1. You're already in the residency, and now you got to take this test again. My question was, all right, do I have to get that same high score to stay in your program, or do I just
need, right?
Let's say I'm about to go into residency. Do I need to get that high score, right, to go into your program? Most likely.
Or do I get to keep my high score? If I score like a 230, does that make me keep my old score? I'm just making stuff up, but it's just like, there's so much. This is a Pandora's box, man. It's a problem.
No. And again, I think it's so systemic that, like, of course, we're focusing on Nepal. We're keeping on these kind of areas here. But like, I think if they really got down to it, they would find cheating in multiple locations. Again, I don't know if you would find a USA location, right? Because y'all know we were good at looking for, you know, advantages and test banks and everything else. If there was a Telegram out there, if there was a WhatsApp group out there, somebody in my circle would have known about it. It might have been on a hush hush, but that wasn't a thing for us, but clearly their process was so refined that, like, again, only a snitch, and to the point where now someone might be asking, like, okay, who cares if the snitch, like, said, hey, they're cheating? USMLE then planted people in the Telegram group to bring the evidence back.
Yo, they got undercovers. They got Knox.
So they got so
this is
so,
like deep cover. The movie, yo. Like, what? Who's Lance Fishburne in this? So, okay.
So USMLE did their job as far as let me confirm that. Yeah, this is a cheating rink, and we someone.
So they actually had literal undercover people. in the Telegram group. And they were able to confirm that questions would be the same questions was being damn.
Yep. And I think Dr. Carver said one person was like, hey, are we allowed to have these questions? And someone was like, yeah, it's a test bank. Like, so imagine, let's say you're green. Let's say you don't know nothing about Nepal. You just happen to be staying in Nepal, right? And someone says, hey, I got this good group right here. It's going to cost $1,000, but we had good questions in here. You might just be thinking like, all right, $1,000 or whatever.
Yeah, I'll jump in. Yeah.
You jump in. And then you're getting these questions like, oh, there's some good questions. And then you go to test day and you're like, hold on. This isn't just good questions. Like, nah, I remember seeing this question. Like, this is exact the mundo what we're seeing here. So it's, I think it hit like wildfire. One, because a little bias, right? People are biased against FMGs, right? So anytime they get a chance to dump on an FMG, they're going to dump on an FMG. They're going to dump on an international medical grad anyway, right? And this is more the USA medical grad versus the international medical grad bias, right? So you got some biases at play here going to factor. You have USMLE who needs to clean its reputation because it's clearly they got pie all over their face. Because again, this wasn't a 1 year operation. For as long as we know, this is at least 3 to 5.
Mm.
You know, people who are in residency right now, again, taking care of people right now, right? Like, so this is something that goes deep. So USMLE has to clean face because if they don't do it, this investigative reporter at a Medscape is dropping a bomb. Like, so imagine, you know, a reporter about to drop a bomb on you. You got to tell on yourself first.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's what I thought was really interesting about your conversation, which is they knew about this. But Medscape was kind of doing their own investigative journaling, was going to release a document or going to release a story, and they were just kind of holding off. The USMLE was holding off. And then until they got wind that this story was coming out, that's when the USMLE came out. That's really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
So what is
I think it's
obviously, what's the IMG community saying right now? What it like? Because I don't know if you on Reddit or any of those type of things. What's the IMG community? They got to kind of be like, are they upset?
And of course, I'm getting comments and DMs. So of course you already have.
And you're in Florida, so there's a lot of IMGs down there. I'm sure they tight.
Again, I went to I did a rotation at Jackson Memorial in Miami. You know that you are, obviously, right? Where like in the IM program, there is like regular IM, and then there's IM for FMG, right? Like that's a standard for, you know, these big programs where a large base is FMG base. So of course you already have people who want to separate themselves. Hey, I did not come from Nepal, right? Whatever you want to say, I did not come from Nepal, right? Now, mind you, remember, I don't know if you remember our Florida nurses scandal we had down here. The nurses did the same thing.
Yeah, like, yeah, with their degrees. Or didn't go to med school or something, or didn't go to nursing school.
They didn't go to nursing school. They just paid for, they just paid for the testing. They skipped over some things, didn't go to clinicals, skipped over some things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny game. But again, this is the game that you play when a lot of dollars
things
are at
go afar in Florida, man. Well, y'all need to get your stuff together, yo.
It's vaccines. It's a lot of money.
Your alligators. your BBLs. Florida.
You know, I pray for our state. I pray for our citizens, right? Like it just is what it is. So of course, IMG community is trying to separate themselves. They're saying, I am not them. People even in that era are saying, hey, it's wrong to persecute us. Right. Like we want our fair share. Like someone actually sued, which I thought was crazy. Like, why would
somebody from Nepal, somebody who got their tests invalidated, they sued? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, because it is again, like if I invalidate your test, you have stopped me in the middle of the progress. Now I can't go to residency interviews. I can't be put on nobody's match list. Right. Because I have this hanging over my head that my test is invalidated. So even if I do well, someone's going to look at me and be like,
you gave me the scarlet letter.
So it's
gave me the scarlet letter. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So this, and I think this is one thing where I think you're just going to have, especially once they really start naming a lot of these other test centers and places that also are in cahoots, and they're going to have to again revamp the changes. And again, the changes, unfortunately, aren't immediate, right? Because I got a lot of lay people asking me questions like, "Oh, why don't y'all just make new questions,
guys?" Yeah, it takes years to do that.
Yeah. This is not ChatGPT. Right. Yeah, like
I jumped. I got on board for writing tests for the osteopathic.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that you just write questions and then it takes years for it to end up on a test.
Yep. So this is not something where you can just kind of flip a switch and like, all right, they got a new set of test questions. Because remember, you're trying to test against others who are taking that similar test. So you can't have one section area taking the test and then the whole parts of the rest of the world, right, taking a different test. Like, how are you going to say this person has a 230 versus whatnot? So the other thing is
I heard that even though the test went to pass fail for USMLE step one, these folks were still killing the test, like in the 250s. The incentive to score high is not there anymore. And they still scoring high because I would have been like, let me get whatever's the minimum, you know?
Well, I think, you know, what happens, especially with that incentive, is that you still got a number, right? So, it's pass fail, but there's still a number there. We already know how bias works. That PD is going to be like, yeah, that's cool. You got pass and fail. How much of a pass did you get? Right. And they know that, right? We're not dumb, right? We can see it too, right? We're like, oh, okay. All right. Your pass ain't like his pass.
What's the other shoe? Is there another shoe that's going to drop? Or is there like more investigations that are going on? Or are we right now in the punitive phase right now?
You have USMLE who's hoping that this can just say, hey, we invalidated your test. You know what? Take the L, keep it moving. Right. If I'm USMLE, you don't want this to be a long drawn out process. You don't want it to. And that's why you stop short at how far back you look. Right. Because imagine if I got to snatch someone from John Hopkins, Brigham Young, right? University of Miami, right? Imagine if I got to start snatching residents from over there, right? And now program directors are like, hold on, like, how much did we lose? Because now you know, right? This is a domino that USMLE does not want. Because, and then, like, mind you, you know, if you're a good business person, you'd be like, hey, you know what? I can come up with a better test that no one can't cheat on, like the USMLE, right? Like, a competitor can come through. Right. Like,
but that's not going to happen. Though.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. I'm just saying, there's hypotheticals that can occur, right? Especially that now we know USMLE has a chink in its armor. And if you're ECFMG, like, you're also looking, because you're supposed to be the body that's supposed to clear these kids. Because remember, they can't even take the USMLE until you give them the OK to do it. That means that all of these kids had to get the OK from you, whether it was a test, whatever it was, to say, yes, this person is ready to take the USMLE. So now they got egg on their face. So they got to clean up their reputation, right? And then the test centers, like, everybody has to like do some reputation cleaning ASAP, because we're fortunate that the general public is just like, okay, USMLE, Nepal.
Yeah,
okay,
because if they start question, if the general public starts questioning, what's the credentials, what's the qualifications, it's going to be a problem. It'll be a major, major problem.
It's much easier for nursing, right? Because they can kind of connect, like, okay, you got to go to nursing school. Like, hold on, you didn't go to the school? Like, you didn't do one clinical? You just skipped right to the test? Like, hold on. Like, so it's easier for them. Like, now you're talking about doctors. Now you're talking about people who are surgeons doing invasive procedures, prescribing medications. Like, hold on. This person cheated on their test. And again, I'm you know, I got a little bias, right? If I'm in the United States and I wanted that spot in that program and you took it, because you were able to cheat on that test and I was not, that changed my whole career trajectory. Like, right, I wanted that residency spot. I couldn't even get it because they had already penciled you in because you had such a killer USMLE.
Yo, the dominoes are far reaching. Let me ask you a question. Last question is, we definitely understand that, you know, the dominoes are going to be far reaching. There's going to be a lot of fallout for this. What's the timeline with when this is going to be settled? Like, are you still going to be putting out information on this, or is this kind of like a one-time, thing?
Yeah. So right now, because the lawsuit's kind of still in phase, we're going to be kind of following and tracking this lawsuit. We're going to be tracking to see, like, all right, what other spots and locations,
like CNN on this show,
right? We're going to look to see, because I want to see what residency spots, right, might or have already been affected, especially because, again, this, you know, they're supposed to be, we're in March, so match day coming up. Like, so, like, they were, you had some people who probably had a name already penciled in for a residency spot that, boom, you're off the list. Somebody moves up.
But when is match this year?
I don't even know. I gotta check it out. That's a good question. But it's usually like March. So.
Damn.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, Dr. Barry, yo, before you bounce, tell them where they can find out more about you, man.
Yes. So I have a YouTube channel, Medicine with Dr. Barry Pierre TV. We do Medicine Mondays. We do Dr. Barry Pierre Reacts. And of course, we have my podcast, Lunch and Learn with Dr. Barry. For those who may not know, our good friend here, Dr. Nee Darko, has been the motivating factor in me starting a
podcast. Why are you lying? Stop lying, bro. Right, stop lying.
They can check the history. I'm on episode like 377. I don't get to 377 unless Docs Outside the Box releases a podcast.
Like, yeah, you owe me money then.
Yes, I do. Like
Dr. Barry, I appreciate that, man. Thank you so much. Listen, guys, one of the best podcasters out there, completely follows through, has been dedicated to doing this for years. This is where you guys need to be following up, not only just for this Nepali scandal, but if you're not even in medicine, you just want to get simple explanations of what's going on with your medical care, that's the podcast that you need to be checking out. Dr. Barry, yo, listen, I'm going to catch you next time, all right, man?
I appreciate it.